This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thank you for joining us for our daily COVID-19 case update call. I'm joined today by Dr. Josh Clayton, State Epidemiologist, and Kim Malton-Ryson, Secretary of Health. Dr. Clayton will provide today's updates, and then they will be available to take your questions. I'll turn it over to Dr. Clayton.
Thank you. Good morning. Today we're reporting 95 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 6 new hospitalizations and 1 new death among a Minnehaha County resident. We have 137 new recovered individuals from COVID-19, as well as 846 new negative tests that have been performed. In total, that brings our COVID-19 count in the state to 3,887. Of those, 1,269 are active infections, and 2,574 are individuals who have recovered from the disease. We have 296 hospitalizations and 44 deaths, as well as 23,527 total negative tests that have been performed. For the community impacts map, we have no updates. For the new cases by county, we have 19 in Brown, 1 in Charles Mix, 1 in Clay, 1 in Corson, 2 in Grant, 1 in Hughes, 3 in Lincoln, 51 in Minnehaha, 3 in Oglala Lakota, 3 in Pennington, 1 in Roberts, 1 in Sanborn, 1 in Stanley, 2 in Todd, 1 in Turner, and 4 in Yankton. For new cases by age range, we have 16 in the 0 to 19 year age category, 22 in the 20 to 29 year age category, 19 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 12 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 8 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 8 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 4 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 6 in the 80 and older category. For new cases by sex, we have 43 that are male and 52 that are female. For our total deaths by county, we have 2 from Beadle, 1 from Girald, 1 from McCook, 39 from Minnehaha, and 1 from Pennington. For deaths by age range, we have 1 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 1 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 6 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 7 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 5 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 24 in the 80 and older category. For deaths by sex, we have 21 males and 23 females.
All right, thank you, Dr. Clayton. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines, and then we will take your questions. Go ahead. We'll now take your question.
Hey, good morning. This is Joseph from the Capital Journal.
Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, y'all. I guess I'll get these questions out of the way early. Can you give updates on both the Smithfield and the Demcota, please? And then another quick one for the Secretary, and I'm super sorry I missed yesterday's meeting, but I did see the brief, and I'm not sure if the question was asked or answered. The $1.25 billion that we're having trouble finding ways to use, the testing is being taken out of that money that we've already been allocated, and thanks, y'all.
Joseph, I can answer your second question. Yes, the funding for the mass testing will come out of the CARES Act funding that the state received. That's the $1.25
billion. And for your first question, 830 individuals are recovered out of the Smithfield case group. 245 individuals that were close contacts to those cases that themselves had become cases. For Demcota, we have 106 cases and 58 that have recovered.
Next question.
This is Lisa with the Argus Leader.
Go ahead, Lisa.
The FDA issued a warning about the Abbott ID tests and the accuracy of them. Just wondering how many of the machines are being used in South Dakota and if you have any concerns about the accuracy.
There are 13 machines that have been deployed by the state, and they are currently in use. And then there are about that many placed in IHS facilities across the state as well. We've addressed the question around testing accuracy, so I'd ask Dr. Clayton to share some more information around what we've known in the past about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's important to recognize that, you know, in the past, the Abbott ID Now machines have had a little bit of an issue with false negative test results, and that the Abbott has, you know, continued to evolve the way that specimens are handled from the time that they're collected, transported, and the processing that is done with them to help overall increase the likelihood of recovery of any virus that is collected. And I think it does also help raise an important point around appropriate specimen collection in general, that, you know, you do need to have a person who has trained to do those specimen collection so that they're able to collect a quality sample across any platform that is used.
Next question.
JP at KORN News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Of course, next week we're going to start mass testing and thousands of tests in the coming weeks. Do we have enough people who are trained and able to conduct those tests and get the samples properly?
JP, this is Kim Olsen-Reisen. Yes, we're fully confident that the long-term care facilities will have, you know, their nursing staff able to conduct this testing. And we are working to make sure that any assisted living centers that will be in the kind of the next phase also have appropriate resources to actually collect the specimens.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question.
Hi, Jack Cottle with
New Center One.
Go ahead, Jack, and then we'll go to New Center One.
The numbers here in Pennington County have more than doubled in the past week. Is that unexpected, and what do you read into that?
Well, I think the important thing to keep in mind is that, you know, we have said that as things open up, we will see additional cases. That, you know, we really have a focus on individuals taking precautions as they are engaging, re-engaging within society at large. And so I think that individuals need to make sure that they're taking appropriate precautions as they're doing that and getting out a little bit more. And that does include making sure that they're washing their hands frequently. You know, use of a cloth face mask is something that is encouraged as well. And so, you know, just making sure that individuals are taking proper precautions. The other part of that is just that, you know, wanting to make sure that, you know, we are making sure that we're conducting those investigations. And, you know, that is something that's always ongoing, that we're able to ramp up to meet the existing needs for those cases and to do the notification for those close contacts. And at this point, we have been able to meet the existing caseloads.
We'll go to New Center One.
Hi. I was just wondering if you guys have any updates about the hydrochloroquine the trial.
Sure. So the hydroxychloroquine study, again, it has a couple of different parts to it, and we will be providing more information early next week on kind of where we're at with that. The clinical trial itself has just recently been added to the federalclinicaltrials.gov website, and so that's just kind of one of the steps to getting that part going, but we actually can report that we are starting the interview process for folks that are interested in participating in the clinical.
Next question. any other questions? We had one question that came in via email that we're just going to go ahead and let Secretary Malsom-Reisden answer, kind of about the mass testing events and how those are rolling out.
Sure. So I think the question was really around, you know, the approach that South Dakota is choosing to take and kind of the rationale for that. Of course, we know that individuals that are living in long-term care facilities or other congregate care facilities are at higher risk, oftentimes because they have underlying health conditions for having serious outcomes if they contract COVID-19. And so they are our top priority when it comes to mass testing now that we have supply chain issues kind of figured out and are seeing more supplies become available for testing. And so the intent of the testing that we'll be doing in South Dakota is mass testing of all residents of nursing homes and assisted living, given their fragility and their vulnerability. In addition, we'll be testing the staff of those facilities, and then from there, we will move on to sentinel testing, which would be a smaller number of randomly selected people to kind of keep a pulse on any potential positive COVID cases in those settings. That's different than other states, and, you know, you need to kind of ask those other states in terms of how they're moving forward with that particular process.
Any other questions before we sign off for the weekend?
This is Stephen Groves from AP.
Go ahead, Stephen.
I was wondering if you could give an update on specific numbers related to DEMCODA or Smithfield.
So we have 830 individuals who were Smithfield cases that have recovered at this point, and 245 of their close contacts that became cases have all recovered. For DEMCODA, we have 106 cases, 58 of those have recovered at this time.
And were you able to sort out the mass testing event that was in Sioux Falls 2 weeks ago now, that was for Smithfield employees and their close contacts?
We have that approximately 3,700 tests. We have 24% of those were positive. That has kind of been cleared through the system. All the tests have been completed and so on.
All right. Any final question? All right. Thank you all for joining us, and we will talk to you again on Monday.